When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. We have a special edition tonight in honor of the International Women's Day. Is it a day or is it a month?
It's a day.
We're going to take the month. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a month? Okay. And it's going to be something that we've done it once before. And surprisingly, we didn't lose all of our listeners. So those of you who are left, you probably have been through this before. But let me introduce our host for tonight's festivities. Fresh from L.A., where she was at the Academy Awards over the weekend, singing country songs with Beyonce, I believe.
Yes, that's what happened.
This ain't Texas.
A lady who's known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm good, Timmy. I'm excited. I get to see besides you guys that I see all the time, I get to see my other friends that I love so much. So I'm going to introduce them. And we are going to actually have a podcast today that's going to be informative without Chuck. So very excited about all of that.
Listeners are concerned, I will be here to mansplain anything that needs mansplain.
I don't need you here at all. Anyway, listen, do we get a tax break on Chuck yet? Did you figure that out, Thad?
If we itemize, we can get down and save about 25%.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Nice.
Nice little boost. Right.
It is a nice little boost. All right. So the first person that that is joining me tonight is Miss Leanne. She is coming to us all the way from across the pond. Hello, Miss Leanne. How are you?
Hello, Brandy. I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Tell me one thing that has happened good this week for you.
She's married to me.
That's not it.
Ding, 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 ding.
I've been able to enjoy some fine home cooking from my mother.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. And how is your mother?
Oh, she's great. She's absolutely loving having me home and asking me if I need to eat every 5 minutes.
What, because you look so skinny from all the American portions that you get?
No, it's just a thing she does.
Oh.
Are you hungry? Can I get you anything?
Yeah, my grandma was like that. She thought everybody'd be hungry or cold. So I have like a million blankets. And she was always just, yeah. Unless you're Loretta Lynn, then fuck that bitch. But Sweet Bee was always, you know, are you hungry? Do you need something? Let me make you something.
It's the Irish in her.
It must have been.
Yeah.
God love her heart. Well, good. I'm glad you're well. And when are you coming back to the States?
Hopefully soon. I have a visa appointment at the embassy towards the end of the month. And then I shall find out then when I, if I get my permanent residency visa, and then I shall be back.
Yay.
Yay.
Very exciting.
Are you getting a lot of blood pudding and shepherd pie?
Well, I don't eat meat, so no.
But good try.
Yeah, mm. I know.
And those things are disgusting, so.
Well, it seems like if you're going to go all the way to England, you ought to get some blood pudding.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right. Good call, Chuck. That's a good call.
Fish and chips?
Yes, I'm going to have fish and chips at the weekend, I think.
So she does eat some meat.
I eat fish.
Yucko.
So that makes, right. that's a pescatarian?
Pescatarian, yeah.
Am I right on that? Hey!
There you go.
Go me.
Go you. All right. And also joining me today is Miss Shelley, all the way from the friggin' Midwest. I don't even know. Are you still in Nebraska?
I'm in Nebraska, yes.
In the middle of Tornado Alley, which is very exciting for me.
Yep, I'm looking at cornfield in my backyard right now.
I know. See, that's so cool. I don't have a cornfield.
Like living in a Stephen King movie.
Or The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
So shut up. It's not a Stephen King movie, although if you do see kids coming out, you might right. want to just move a little faster.
No, yeah. So I may have mentioned this previously, but in Oklahoma, where I'm from Oklahoma, in Corn, Oklahoma, they have a Mennonite colony. So they have like little kids running through the field in those clothes. And you what? Know one of them has to be named Malachi.
Oh, Malachi Isaac.
Right. Yep. So
Malachi was very
the
scary.
Name of the place is Corn, Oklahoma.
Yes. Yeah. Hmm.
It's so like there's a lake.
Literally Michigan. every kid very born there. Nose. Every kid born there is children of the corn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the children are children.
The radio station KORN.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
See, we're just gonna start treating you all like our slow cousins.
Oh, you know what?
Which you can marry in Oklahoma.
Anyway, Brandy, did you have other introductions?
People ever get married in the cornfields?
No, I'm not introducing anybody else. They don't matter.
Okay.
Who do you want me to introduce? Dash?
No, I was trying to get them to shut up.
Dash is an important part of the podcast.
Yeah, Dash is clutch. That can edit those two out, so that's fine.
There is a KORN coming from you from the big city of Mitchell, South Dakota.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. They probably got your radio station. Sorry.
Oh, good Lord.
Right now, they're discussing corn and beef futures.
Oh, fascinating. Well, we should actually just log off and go listen to that.
I bet it's riveting.
It does sound
isn't
riveting.
Like corn futures? Shouldn't the prices be about the same all the time? I mean, you know.
I don't think that's
gonna,
how
we're
it works.
We're going to have corn this month. Yeah, and there's going to be corn again next month. I mean, corn is pretty well established at this point, I would think.
I don't think that's how that works. But
well,
good,
you can have dry seasons, wet seasons, you know, all that affects the price.
Well, fuel cost, labor cost.
See? Fucking Leanne Smart, she knows this shit.
Fuck. Who gives a shit about corn futures? Jesus Christ.
Well, I guess the people in Mitchell, South Dakota do.
Then the people in Mitchell, South Dakota can talk about it all they want. I don't want to be involved in that.
Okay, then. All right.
At all.
I will tell you
that.
Who is worried about beef futures.
Good.
That'd be a bull.
He would be worried.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to laugh at that. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You want to laugh. You want to laugh. And you're too hateful and spiteful to do it. Go ahead.
Whatever.
Just chuckle under your breath.
You know what? I stand by my statement. I hope you get crabs. I do. I really do. And I hope when you go to Target, they're out of that writ or whatever, that knit that you get out that you can get crabs out with the
rid.
Little calm.
It's called
rid. Whatever. With the see, you know that. I didn't because I've never had crabs. But then you have to go through with your little comb and get all this shit out. And I hope when you go, they don't have any more of it.
See, Chuck and I are giving you we're giving our listeners a great gift, mm-hmm. a chance to see what the podcast would be without us, Chuck.
Without us.
And we're like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
And Michael, well, I don't know if we could call Thad Mike. Well, who would Thad be? He
Bagney Spud Webb.
Now, I like it.
Don't you guys have a game to play?
A quick thing, Devil.
Perfect.
If you'd ever traveled to Huntsville, Alabama, and stayed at Aunt Emmy's Diner, Hotel, and
Bait Shop,
gas station,
casino,
with six men in a room and a softball team, and you wake up the next day, and it's about 90 degrees, and it's the first inning, and you know
that's right, you had
six
crabs.
Of you are itching
because you had crabs. This isn't a story you want to retell.
Yeah, you can catch
nasty.
You can just
you all have like cheap. nasty
There's
pubes.
A correctional can't help facility that. In Huntsville.
Mm-hmm. Also fascinating. You know what's not from Huntsville? Eileen Wuornos. That's why I don't give a fuck about Huntsville. Okay. So we're going to talk today about Eileen Wuornos, who was executed in 2002 by the state of Florida. She was
Spoiler alert.
Received the death penalty. It's a recent true story. I'm pretty sure I'm not spoiling it for anyone. But thank you for shutting the fuck up about it. So she was the 10th woman to ever receive the death penalty in the United States since the 1976 reinstatement of capital punishment. She was engaged in sex work and eventually killed seven of her Johns between 1989 and 1990. Her life later became the subject of screenplays, stage productions, and multiple documentaries, as well as the basis for the 2003 film Monster, which was amazing. I assume we've all seen it. Have we all seen it?
Never heard of it.
You mm-hmm. shut up. I saw it in the theater. How have y'all not seen that? Well, go see it.
I didn't want to say, I would be interested to see a stage play about this woman's life. Fucking Johns and stabbing them to death. I mean, that's got to be a good time for the whole family.
Yeah. Her life was pretty tragic. And again, if you've never seen Monster, please go see it. It's so, so good. Or, you know, get it on the Netflix or whatever.
Not all the men have been proven to be Johns, though, correct? The last three, there's some questions about that. So it's kind of unfortunate for their families.
Some guy was just, giving her a ride or something. Mm-hmm. It's been a hot minute. But if a psychologist was challenged to invent a childhood that would predictably produce a serial killer, it was Eileen Wuornos' life. She found prostitution early in life, trading sexual favors at her elementary school for cigarettes and other treats at the age of 11. Of course, she never picked up the habit on her own, so she never smoked her product. She just sold it. Nice.
I just want to point out, Noah's girlfriend is 14.
She is. That's true. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
But don't worry. Don't worry, Devil.
I hate you guys so much. You just don't even know. Her father was a convicted sex offender and was out of the picture before she was born and ended up hanging himself in his prison cell when she was 13. So the trash took itself out. Her mother, a Finnish immigrant, had already abandoned her by that point, leaving her in the care of her paternal grandparents. Less than a year after her father committed suicide, Wuornos' grandmother died of liver failure. And Shelly, can you tell us more?
Yeah, apparently when her grandmother died of liver failure, she watched her and refused to call 911 during that time too. So that's kind of interesting. But she was going through so much hell. Meanwhile, her grandfather had, according to her account, been beating her and raping her for several years. So just super tragic. When Eileen was 15 years old, she dropped out of school to have her grandfather's friend's baby at a home for blood mothers. However, after having the child, she and her grandfather finally had it out in a domestic incident, and Wuornos was left to live in the woods outside of Troy, Michigan. So that's a lot to happen to a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. She gave up her son for adoption, and got on by prostitution and petty theft. At the age of 20, Eileen tried to escape her life by hitchhiking to Florida and marrying a 69-year-old man whose name was Lewis Fall. Fell, not fall. He fell. Oh, yeah.
Past tense.
Fell was a successful businessman. He had settled into semi-retirement and was the president of a local yacht club. In fact, their marriage made it to the society pages in that area. So.
He also played the role of the landlord on Three's Company, Norman Fell.
Now, how old was this man?
Nope. Do not.
There was an age difference. I was just trying to, I didn't catch his age.
It was a 49-year age difference.
And she was 20.
Yes.
So Eileen moved in with him, and but she started getting in trouble. And, you know, he cared a lot about his reputation, and she was going to local bars and carousing and getting into it with bartenders. In fact, one of them, she threw a pool ball at him. So that was fun. She ended up carousing, got in a lot of fights, and she also abused Mr. Fell, who later claimed that she beat him with his own cane.
Oh, that's some bullshit right there.
So there you go.
At least it wasn't a flip-flop.
So he got tired of this. Her elderly husband got a restraining order against her, forcing her to return to Michigan to file for an annulment after just 9 weeks of marriage. So
I would have laughed at the flip-flop comment, Brandy, but you didn't laugh at Norman Fell, so
that's fine.
God damn, the woman couldn't make it 3 months without beating him with his own cane.
She had a bit of a temper.
Yeah.
Yeah, in some of the police reports, I was looking at some of the police reports, they would put like attitude and then in capital letters, poor attitude. I think that, you know, was probably legit.
Probably, yeah. It was probably a legitimate assessment.
Well, Chuck, I don't know if back then they had Cialis, so maybe that was her problem. She wasn't satisfied.
Oh my God.
Well, you think she would, I mean, after all the years of you. You would have thought she would have given, she met a man 69 years old. Maybe I would have thought she was hoping to give the thing a rest, give the thing a break, a respite. Like
a retirement plan for it. Okay.
Cane was a euphemism.
Well, he wasn't raping her, so that was something different.
Yeah, it was really terrible. So around this time.
Way to bring down the room, Brandy.
Yeah.
Wordos is.
Could it be? And I'm no psychologist, but could it be that there was a transference of anger toward this 69-year-old gentleman? When she looked at him, she saw her grandfather and beat him with a cane. Ooh. Would you think that's a possibility?
Yes. No.
Oh, just that men in their 60s are just really irritating.
Oh, yes, could they be. Are.
I'm just wondering about this guy.
You're fucking needy, man.
If he's worried about his reputation, did he not know anything about the woman?
Clearly, he did not.
She was.
I would say he was closer to 70 than he was to 60.
Yeah, I don't think he's concerned about her character. She was 20. So, all right. So around this time, Wornos's brother, whom she reportedly had an incestuous relationship with, suddenly died of throat cancer. She collected.
Can't blame her for that.
Yeah. It's Michael Douglas.
She collected his $10,000 life.
Twice, Colonel. More than twice.
She collected his $10,000 life insurance policy. Used the money.
Should have been in health classes back in high school.
Oh
you
my
know?
God!
Tell somebody something.
So she used the money.
They're ticking time bombs, Timmy. They're ticking time
bombs. Oh, my God. Shut up. Okay.
Hey, you watch your manners. It might be International Women's Hour. But
hour?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Women can go and hop on how many peckers they want.
Yeah, I know.
They don't get the shit.
I bought a little mini gong to deal with Chuck when I'm podcasting, and I can go get it right now if I need to.
A bong?
No.
What did you say?
A gong. Oh.
I know it ended with O-N-G.
Yes. She said bong, too. Yeah.
Mini I feel bong. Like a bong would probably that's be better to deal with Chuck.
Uses. Brandy uses the bong to deal with.
I do.
I mean, fair. Okay, so she got this money.
And I'm out of gummies. God damn it.
To cover the fine for a DUI, and then she used the rest to buy a luxury car. Surprisingly, after she bought the luxury car, she then crashed it while driving under the influence. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't drink and drive, kids.
When the money ran out, she returned to Florida and started getting arrested for theft again. So she briefly did time for an armed robbery, and apparently the armed robbery was at a grocery store, and she was wearing a bikini at the time. So,
it's a distraction.
Where she?
Well, I mean, it's I guess that it's easier than to rob the store than to like shoplift.
Mm. Yeah, but they got to see the gun coming from a mile away.
They were gonna shoot the gun. They were distracted by the bikini.
She was a handsome woman. She had to use what she had.
She stole $35.
Hard to, you know, steal some Fritos if all you all have is a two-piece bikini.
I don't know. She was in a bikini.
She put it in her prison purse.
But in the armed robbery, she stole a whole $35 and some cigarettes. So I guess maybe she did take up the smoking thing, you know, that she didn't when she was 11. I guess that changed. Working as a prostitute again, Wuornos was arrested in 1986 when one of her customers told police that she had pulled a gun on him in the car and demanded money. I was discovering today in her timeline that I lived in most of the places that these things occurred at the same time. Mm. Kind of a weird thing. Like
it's
all
creepy.
Florida.
It,
yeah.
Is it though? Is it?
Is it a surprise?
On a humid Florida evening. In
I think not.
In 1986, a hotel maid named, okay, I don't know if I can pronounce, is it Tyria? How do you pronounce her name? Do you know?
Don't ask Brandy. I don't have a script. Like
that. I think it's Tyria.
Tyria?
Tyria or Tyria? Yeah,
I
can't
remember. I think it's Tyria. We'll go with Tyria.
Ms. Moore to you.
She's a handsome woman.
Met an exciting blonde named Eileen Wuornos at the Zodiac Bar in Daytona, Florida. You can get anything.
I think I was there. I think I've been there during spring break back in the
80s. Oh, God.
Daytona is the place to get crabs, man. It's not the cleanest beach.
Did you see where Miami's asking people not to come down for spring break?
That's a great commercial they put together, PSA. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck those kids.
I mean, I get it.
They said they're putting in, what, $100 parking. They're going to do curfews. So, I mean, if you're going down there for spring break, you're not going to have a good time. And that's the point, I guess.
I'm good with that. When I lived in North Florida by the beach, I hated spring breakers.
I'm sure.
And I was young and I still hated the spring breakers. Okay. So I met at the Zodiac Bar in Daytona, and Ms. Moore had left her conservative hometown in Ohio to fully embrace her identity as a lesbian. Unbeknownst to her, she was also embracing a serial killer.
You know, without spring training, where would they film those Girls Gone Bad videos?
Yeah, Girls Gone Wild.
Without spring training, I don't know where they film break. Them. Do they spring film break. Them at spring training?
Spring break, whatever.
It depends on what team
it is. There's a difference.
Gives a whole new meaning to pitchers and catchers reporting.
Girls Gone Wild. And that...
That guy's in jail.
That guy is in jail.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
More.
All right.
He had to know. He had to know it was only a matter of time before he got pinched for child porn, though. I mean,
like Pornhub sort of took over, you know, after people could get out on the internet, they weren't really interested in buying a video.
What is this Pornhub you speak of, Jelly?
Oh, my God.
Pornhub, you say?
In.
The Colonel is more of a Persian kitty kind of man.
In early 1987, Eileen moved in with Tyria Moore, and she would become her lover and her partner in crime. as the relationship progressed,
that's very sweet.
And Moore became Eileen Warnos's girlfriend. Warnos admitted that she had been in and out of jail for theft and armed robbery. She added that she had been abused and abandoned as a child and often used prostitution as a means to make money. Moore tried to discourage these behaviors in Warnos. I mean,
let's not do that, please.
Yeah, this might be a bad idea.
You know, just for some context, if you look at some pictures of her,
no, we don't do that.
She was not an unattractive woman there in her youth. In her youth, she was not. She was an attractive
woman. Had all her teeth in.
But it's really not relevant to all the things that happened.
It is germane because you're wondering how a 69-year-old man, I repeat, 69 years old,
I'm not wondering,
would marry a 20-year-old woman.
I'm not wondering that at all.
No one is wondering that. Leanne, are you wondering that?
No.
No, we're not wondering that.
Not wondering that at all. Okay. So thank you, though. Go ahead, Shell.
Chuck speaks. He speaks for the silent majority.
No one.
Yeah. So,
no Falwell. No.
Moore tried to discourage these
issues. I have sinned.
Their relationship took a turn in 1989 when Warnos suddenly confessed that she had just killed a man.
Oh.
That'll
strain a relationship.
Warnos told her that her victim was a client who had become abusive and that it was out of self-defense. Moore believed her, but then Warnos killed again and again and again and again and again. Eileen Warnos told conflicting stories about her murders. Sometimes she claimed to have been the victim of rape or attempted rape with every single one of the men she killed. At other times, she admitted that she was trying to rob them. Depending on who she was talking to, her story changed. As it happens, her first victim, Richard Mallory, actually was a convicted rapist. Mallory was 51 years old and had finished his prison term years earlier. When he met Warnos in November of 1989, he was running an electronics store in Clearwater.
So he's going places.
And what happened next, Brandy?
Oh my gosh, Warnos shot him several times and then dumped him in the woods before ditching his car. In May 1990, Eileen Warnos killed 43-year-old David Spears by shooting him six times and stripping his corpse naked. 5 days after Spears' body was discovered, police found the remains of 40-year-old Charles Carsecton, who'd been shot nine times and tossed on the side of the road. She's fucking strong if she's tossing all these men on the side of the road and stuff.
Maybe he was a midget.
Maybe.
Oh, well, that's a whole different story. That. Then you got midget abuse.
Yeah.
Let's see.
They're little people, Thad.
That's an ADA violation right there.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's circumstances that, you know, that could change it right, make it right to first degree murder.
That's aggravating circumstances. You went to law school. That's aggravating circumstances to me.
Get a dwarf.
I'm aggravated. On June 30th, 1990.
You got to treat them with kid gloves, Colonel.
65-year-old Peter Sims, disappeared on a drive from Florida to Arkansas. Witnesses later claimed to have seen two women matching Moore and Warnos's description driving his vehicle. Warnos's fingerprints were later recovered from the car and from several of Seam's personal effects that had turned up at local pawn shops. Warnos and Moore went on to kill three more men before Eileen was picked up on a warrant after yet another fight in a biker bar in Volusia County, Florida.
Volusia County?
Nope, that's not it.
She seems to have some issues with other people.
It does seem like she lacks
interpersonal skills or not.
She lacks interpersonal skills. And it's maybe, as a sex worker, it seems that she has the technical skills, but not the soft skills, Timmy.
Yeah.
And those are so important in a job.
Well, yeah, especially if you want a tip.
All right.
She just takes the wallet. Yeah.
So she gets in a fight in a barker bar in a biker bar in Volusia County.
You've been there, haven't you, Devil?
I will fight.
How many fights in biker bars have you been in?
Or deny? That's none of your business. Moore had left her by this time, returning to Pennsylvania, where police apprehended her the day after Eileen Warnos was booked. Well, fuck yeah. It didn't take long for Moore to flip on Eileen Warnos. In the days immediately following her arrest, Moore was back in Florida staying at a motel the police had rented for her. There, she made calls to Warnos in an attempt to elicit a confession that could be used against her. In these calls, Moore acted up a storm, pretending to be frightened that the police would pin all of the blame for the murders on her. She'd beg Eileen to go over the story with her again, step by step, in order to get their story straight. For 4 days of repeated phone calls, Eileen Warnos confessed to several of the murders, but insisted over the phone that the killings Moore hadn't known about were all attempted rapes. Authorities now had what they needed to arrest Eileen Warnos for murder. Warnos spent all of the time in jail waiting for her trial to start. During that time, Moore was fully cooperating with prosecutors in exchange for full immunity. She and Eileen often talked by phone, and Warnos knew in general terms that her lover had turned as a witness for the state. If anything, Warnos seemed to welcome it.
You know, when your lover says, "Speak into this pin on my blouse," you'd be a little suspicious.
You would be. But, you know, it's just the whole thing. Eileen Warnos never had a chance. And I mean, maybe she would have been a shit human being anyway, but, you know, we'll never know. She just, you know, you would think prison would give her structure and all those things that she clearly desperately needed. But as rough as life had been for her on the outside of prison, she seemed to be having a harder time inside. As she sat in confinement, Eileen Warnos gradually came to believe that her food was being spat in or otherwise contaminated with bodily fluids.
Well, let's say that probably happened.
Probably, because she was a bitch.
You know, Leanne worked in a prison.
I did.
I thought you were going to say Leanne spit in your food.
Well, she probably does that too, but she worked in a prison.
I know.
I did. Yeah, I did work in a prison for a while.
Did they spit? Because you had to take a vaccine for that, right?
I got a hepatitis vaccination because of just in case of spitters.
You have to put the spit hood on.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody like a spitter. Nobody like.
Oh, and
a
then
spitter.
You get the semen throwers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
well, I don't
always...
think you get those in a women's prison.
But, yeah, I don't...
well, unless you get the women over prison, a women over 40 prison, you're liable to get the semen throwers. But
really,
I worked in a male prison.
Oh,
so suck it.
You're so badass, Liam.
I know, right? So cool. Let's see. So she also remember that a lot of times inmates are preparing the food. It's not guards and shit. So she's pissing off inmates and they're spitting in her food.
Yeah, you gotta whatever. You got to be nice to people that's working in the kitchen.
She who controls the kitchen controls the prison.
Yeah. Mm.
You would think that she would kind of be popular in prison due to who she killed. You know what I mean? It wasn't like she killed
I think after a while, the other inmates think she's just showing off.
Well, right. It was her personality and stuff. But you would think that, like, you know, because of her victimology.
Well, just because she's in a women's prison doesn't mean she's surrounded by women, men haters.
Well,
I mean, not everybody's going to be like, yay, you shot 16 men.
She has no social skills whatsoever. So I can imagine her walking into a prison and just pissing off everybody she meets.
You know who else? Now, when you think of somebody walking into a prison and pissing off everybody they meet right away, who's the first person that pops into your head, Timmy?
You think Brandy would piss off all the other inmates?
Well, I'm just saying, Brandy, again, Brandy is not known for her soft skills.
Well,
as the
motherfucker
at the checkout could attest to.
Listen,
Randy, you could be a little bit softer with the people that you meet.
Hold
on. A little gentler.
Shut up. Let me just give this little anecdote. So, you know, we have it now where that register, it's a Target store, that register now doesn't even give you the option to use cash. So there's signs on it. And then, you know, it pops up where you can pick how you want to pay. Cash isn't even on there. And then even before you get to that, it asks you, as soon as you scan something, you will not be able to use cash on this. Do you want to proceed? Motherfucker went through all the shit and then looks at me and goes, this doesn't take cash. Are you fucking with me right now?
What do you think her interview was like when they asked her, Brandy, tell us about your customer service skills.
Bitch, I got skills, but my tolerance is low. I don't lack skills. I lack tolerance.
I think what surprises me is this seems to happen day after day after day after day. Your job.
People are so
yet
dumb.
You seem surprised by it every time it happens.
I don't know why. It's more disappointment. I'm more disappointed than anything. I'm like, you know, Mom, I'm more disappointed than anything. I'm not mad. Just disappointed.
Yeah, you seem angry, Timmy. Timmy?
A little angry. A little bit. Mm-hmm.
Well, Shelley? He's not taking cash. Well, the sign
Shelley?
And the machine.
Is that anger or disappointment you're hearing?
I think you're just jealous because so many people claim Team Brandy.
Damn!
So, I think...
Well, maybe you should...
Shouldn't ask me next time.
Leanne, does that seem like anger to you?
If you were in the store, then yeah.
See?
He steals bananas. He admitted to it. Petty larceny.
You know
this
what?
Is Angry Women's Day.
That Colerain targets shit anyway, so, you know, he can have it.
I was he a West Hills.
Whatever, same difference. Ooh. It's all West Side garbage. All right, so anyway, so she goes, so Eileen, back to Eileen, she repeatedly goes on hunger strikes as she refused to eat meals prepared while various individuals were present in the jail's kitchen. So, I mean, she may not have been wrong. Just because she's paranoid doesn't mean somebody's not after her.
But in fairness, it was a piece of fish that they were serving her.
I mean, yeah, there's this, like, stool on her inner dish or something.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of stool.
That's objectionable.
Well, depends. Hot dogs, I think you're allowed to have a certain microscopic
what
level.
What is your deal with poop, man? You have a weird fascination. For somebody that doesn't have fishies, kids, you have a weird fascination.
There's a percentage of hot dogs that include fishies. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
They can have cooked feces in them, fleas, whatnot.
Less than 5%. As long as it's less than 5%, they pass.
You know what they use for hot dogs, Timmy? Everything but the squeal.
Yeah, they use it on half the shit. Half of the only shit that Tim will eat has nothing but the squeal in it. Everything but the squeal. Tim only eats bullshit food like
Timmy,
that.
He
doesn't eat like an adult.
Timmy's
careful, Brandy. There's a lot of people out to get me.
Timmy's life has a fairy tale ending. He was eating Domino's and Wendy's every day, and then I don't know how this all occurred, what convoluted stars aligned, and now he's getting home cooked meals every night.
I know.
Well, not at
living
the
a dream. Not at the moment. He's back to Wendy's. He's jonesing for Wendy's and Domino's again.
How many chicken fingers do you think you cook in a week? Do you have to buy them in bulk, Leanne? Do you have to go to Sam's and get chicken fingers?
No, I don't cook him any crap.
Because he's not going to touch a salad.
He doesn't touch green things, no.
I mean, let's just...
You're on the ground.
He eats like a toddler.
There's a book on how to sneak healthy food into like grown-up food that they don't even know it's there. Like I did that with my kids all the time. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that's just malevolent.
Don't worry about it.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Just, you know, he can get some nice homemade treats from Leanne.
I do know that ever since Tim got married, that Cracker Barrel by him is all but gone out of business.
Oh my God, it's awful.
Cracker Barrel by us is terrible.
Well, you know. All right, let's see here. So she... All right, her statements to the court and her own legal counsel became increasingly unhinged, with many references to jail staff and other inmates she believed were plotting against her. She probably... Dude, what do you think the odds are that she doesn't have SIF brain? Like syphilis brain that's gone to her whatever head?
I was reading a case study on this on her today that was talking about like the genetics and the environmental factors, the different things. And one of the things it talked about is like her father was a diagnosed schizophrenic. And I'm wondering why that was never like brought up in, you know, you would think with what she was doing. And, you know, some people kind of made her out to be this mastermind with it, but she really wasn't. Her IQ was, what, like 81 or something along those lines? So it was just like base level. I don't know. I don't understand why that wasn't a more accepted. I guess because they wanted her to get the death penalty. So it was the narrative was.
Hold on. Who was 81?
Eileen. That was her IQ.
Her IQ was 80. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. A quick question for you, Shelly. have you ever listened to this podcast before?
Shut up.
We don't read about the subjects beforehand. What are you just showing off? What are you trying to do?
It was interesting to me, and it was.
Shelly did a little thing called show prep. I know that's a foreign concept.
Shut up. Did not.
How are you?
You know what, though? She brings up a good point but you also have to remember, like I get to, she wanted to fire her lawyer and represent herself, which, whatever, they never should have done, but her mental health should have been taken into some kind of consideration.
Yeah, you're right.
Her IQ should have been taken into some kind of consideration. But again, you're talking about a girl who plans nothing. Even these crimes were just crimes of opportunity. You know, they're the guys that got her in their car. They're the guys that just happened, you know, pick her up, whatever. She's not, you know, clearly she's not very intelligent. She just knows how to survive. And anytime somebody knows how to survive, they're going to, if they feel cornered, they're going to come out and bad shit's going to happen.
I mean, is Brandy red? I mean, she was turning tricks in elementary school. That is an incredibly young age to even think about something like that. So from the beginning, she was really behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. I'm just equal time here.
No.
I'm just saying, if we were talking about a man, we'd have a different view on this.
No, we wouldn't.
There's a double standard on this a little bit. And I'm just going to say this. When she married the 60-year-old man, she had a chance to put that all behind her, get her a good therapist. But what did she do? She beat the motherfucker with a cane.
She doesn't know any better.
Sometimes some of these serial killers are just born bad. They're just born bad. Sometimes they're made bad. Maybe we don't know.
Albert Fish.
Right.
I mean, I think the interesting thing about her, if you look at female serial killers, usually they either hire someone to kill people for them or
they poison
people. Yeah.
Yes.
So she used a gun to kill them.
Yeah.
Which is unusual with female serial killers. Mm-hmm.
Because she's doing it as she's using the gun. She feels like she's using the gun as protection. So that's what I mean by opportunity. Like, she's using that gun as protection. If you poison someone, that's an intentional, like, I want to kill this person for this reason. Her using a gun is just, I'm going to kill anybody. If it's a crime of opportunity.
Well, and poison is used for the most part when you're poisoning your partner, right? I mean, that's how that comes into effect. Like, you're being beaten by your husband or your boyfriend. I'm going to poison that motherfucker because I cook all of his meals.
I know. And the Visine in Dave's drink should start working any time now.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Double the dose.
I'm trying.
Actually, doesn't that just give you the shits? Does that actually kill you?
You can actually die, yeah.
Oh, okay. Five Zine gave you diarrhea.
Yep. Hmm.
But you have very clear vision when you die.
You do, but it doesn't go in your eyes. So actually, maybe if we put exchange super glue and Visine, that would be harder to deal with.
Oh, God.
You know, super glue and preparation H would be very hard to deal with.
Or Crest.
Yeah. Ooh. You know, one time when I was smoking, I carried a lot of Visine.
Yeah, you did.
And I also carried one of those little, you know, Visine like bottles of that real powerful breath freshener.
I love that story.
I don't know if you remember
that story. I was there for that.
You were, and I mixed them up and I put a drop of the breath freshener in my eye.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Really, it was like
glorious.
It's only what I can imagine, like if Satan were to ejaculate into your eye directly. And I'm at the water fountain, and Denise Becker, who was one of my co-workers, came up and said, "What happened?" I explained to her, and she said, "Doesn't that burn?" And I said, "That may be the dumbest thing that anybody's ever asked me." And she looked right at me and said, "Well, that may be the dumbest thing I've ever seen anybody do."
So, I love Denise. I miss Denise.
It was like my eye was on. It was like somebody took a blowtorch to my eye.
And what did I do when I saw you?
You giggled like the heartless harlot you are.
I did. I giggled. It turned into a guffaw.
It was.
Yeah, it did. All right. So, old girl wants to defend herself. They agree to let her do this, which of course left her unprepared and unable to cope with the inevitable blizzard of paperwork that 7 murder trials would involve. So Eileen went on trial for the murder of Richard Mallory on January 16, 1992, and she was convicted 2 weeks later. The sentence was death. Around a month after, she pled no contest to 3 more murders for which the sentences were also death. In June 1992, Warnos pled guilty to the murder of Charles Carsacton and was given yet another death sentence in November for the crime. The gears of death turn slowly in American capital cases. 10 years after being sentenced to die, Warnos was still on Florida's death row and degenerating fast. During her trial, Warnos had been diagnosed as a psychopath with a borderline personality disorder. Yeah, Freud was on top of that one. This was ruled not strictly relevant to her crimes, but that's it did. That's really not great. But it did present the bedrock instability that let Warnos go around the bend from her prison cell.
How many death penalties did she get?
She got 4. Didn't she?
Down in Florida.
Or did I miss one?
Usually they're pretty quick. Florida loves to kill a motherfucker down there.
Mm-hmm.
They loved it. You know, as a matter of fact, when the Supreme Court came out and ruled that, you know, corporations are people, a bunch of corporations left Florida because they were like, we don't want to get the electric chair.
3.
It really hurt commerce down there.
She was sentenced to 3 death sentences.
And let me share this because I looked this up.
Nazis protesting outside Disney World has hurt commerce there.
That really is. But I think this is an interesting stat. So,
all right,
the United States allows capital punishment, and not every country does. We are in the exclusive company of China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iraq, Kuwait, Somalia, and South Sudan, and the United States, the only countries that allow capital punishment. So, we are in a great club.
Yeah, it's all great here.
But there's a lot of states that have banned the death penalty. Right. Ohio not being one. But
no, but I guess on a federal level.
It's nearly impossible to, I mean, it's become more of a money. I'm going to be quiet.
No, you're right. They're privatizing prisons. It becomes a money thing.
Right. It's not really, I mean.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, like, the different what's crazy to me is Idaho do bringing back the
Idaho, the shooting.
What do you call that? Say it again.
Oh, firing squad. Like
firing squad.
Brought back the firing
squad. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The guy, Chuck, what was that guy? Gilmore. What
Gary Gilmore. Gary Gilmore. Utah. He was the last person executed before the Supreme Court banned the death penalty.
Now, why would you bring that back? Is that because it's cheap?
Yeah.
Bring back the death.
Well, no, just bring back a firing squad. I mean, is it cheap? I guess. I mean,
it's less painful than other.
There's an argument on it being less cruel and unusual than some of the medication mess ups. Weirdly enough,
the medication that's probably used for lethal injections you can't get in the United States.
Right. And the electric chair is no picnic. So, and you know, a firing squad. You know that if there's eight men in the firing squad, and they're good shooters, so you're gonna. But one has a blank. One has a blank, so he.
No, one has a bullet.
No, one has a blank.
Yeah, one has a blank. Yeah. So you don't know.
So you can't say for sure that you
say I didn't really kill him.
Well, I think it's what? I think it's three men, right?
Yeah. And only
one. It depends. I think with Gilmore, it was six.
So they all live with the guilt of killing this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
I mean, if you had business to begin with, I mean, do you really?
Oh, you know. I mean, live with the guilt. Now, if you're having a firing squad, especially in Utah, those, you know, the crazy militia states, you know, you got motherfuckers just lining up saying, let me do it. Let me do it. It's just like the death penalty. I'll flip the switch. You know, people want to do it.
So you want to do a lottery to have people be on firing squads? You're like, I think you'd have to show some proficiency. So like the Hunger Games, you want us to turn into the Hunger Games.
I'm just saying.
People want to do it. They can build.
What are you saying?
And then the money can go to the victims' families.
Okay. Leanne.
Okay. Back to this. Okay.
Yeah.
In 2001, Warnos directly petitioned the court to ask for her sentence to be hurried along, citing abusive and inhumane living conditions. Eileen Warnos also claimed her body was being attacked by a sonic weapon of some kind. Freaking laser beams.
Yeah. Jewish space lasers.
Exactly. Her court-appointed lawyer tried to argue she was irrational, but Warnos wouldn't go along with the defense. Not only did she confess again to the slayings, but she also sent this in the court as a document for the record. Quote, I am sick of hearing this. She's crazy stuff. I've been evaluated so many times. I'm competent, sane, and I'm trying to tell the truth. I'm one who seriously hates human life and would kill again. On June 6, 2002, Eileen Warnos got her wish. She was put to death at 9:47 p.m. that day. During her last interview, she was quoted saying, I'd like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back like Independence Day with Jesus. June 6th, like the movie, Big Mothership and all. I'll be back.
She was a Scientologist?
I'll be back.
She'll be back.
My thought about that is they killed her at 9:47 p.m. Now, do they get paid for that day of her incarceration?
They got overtime, I believe. You know what it struck me?
She got a late checkout.
Timmy, and they had... You're going to agree with me wholeheartedly, but I don't think you're going to say it out loud. How would you be like to be her lawyer? Because everyone knows how it goes when you tell a woman you're being irrational. It just doesn't go over well. No matter how she was clearly being out of her head. But when you tell a crazy woman you're being crazy, you just get the stare. You know, like, I can't believe you said that. Kind of like you're staring at me now, devil. And
that's three of us doing that.
I know. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. And Thad's agreeing with me because he said maybe you're being a little irrational before to his wife. And but anytime you say to a woman, I think that.
No. I don't know if you've met my wife, Chuck. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah.
Where's Renee?
Melissa would put me through a wall if I ever said that to her.
Where's Renee? Can't she come down and be on this instead of him?
I have no problem saying, because I like to feel that I'm 100% for equal rights. So men or women, I will say to them, have you lost your goddamn mind? Are you fucking crazy? What is it? You're being irrational.
Okay.
Really? I know no gender when it comes to helping people self-improve.
I just find it interesting that she's referencing Independence Day and then June 6th.
Yeah.
She was off a little bit.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she was. I don't think she was a standout in history class.
Timmy, did you give her the word Independence Day on purpose?
I thought it was a.
It hurt her to say it.
Not really. We're kind of glad you did your own thing.
I mean, you know, if she was really killing people who tried to rape her, then good for her. But I got a feeling that they weren't all trying to rape her.
Okay. As for Tyria Moore, she was Aileen Wuornos's longest relationship, lasting nearly 4 years. She was also the star witness to the case that saw Aileen Wuornos convicted of murder, ensuring she received the death penalty for testifying against her lover. Tyria was given complete immunity. It had been suggested that now Tyria Moore is now living under assumed name in Pennsylvania. The end.
Yeah, you gotta go off grid. Well, you gotta go seriously off grid.
You were full Amish.
I mean, she was involved with it too. She should have got sentenced to something as an accessory or something. She knew what
I don't know that she killed anyone.
Is she Swedish? Because I found that June 6th, is Swedish Independence Day.
That's no. Just that's a good try though, but no, I don't think that that's what she was going for.
Weren't they both in one of the dead guy's cars?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the girl's innocent. I'm just saying I don't know that she killed anyone.
Right. Yeah. No, that's interesting. I think it's amazing. I'm so impressed that they've kept her son's identity and his life very protected. I mean, with all of the media surrounding her, I'm just really, really grateful that he gets to live a regular life, not knowing. I'm really tried to do some look up stuff with that, and that's pretty locked down, and I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, but you gotta wonder if he inherited some of that mental illness.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see, you know, if the home that he was put in helped him to be successful. It'd be really interesting to kind of study that, you know. I don't know.
I agree. So, ladies, do we have any final thoughts on Miss Aileen Wuornos? I mean, look at this. All I'm saying is we're going to get out of here. We could get out of here in an hour. And you know,
hard to spell.
Wuornos?
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah. You just
She could spell it. I mean, she could spell it and she's slow. So I don't know what your excuse is.
Her name. I mean,
she had a really bad start to life. So I kind of guess it wasn't going to end up peaches and cream.
It wasn't nearly as bad as Ian, though.
As who?
Wasn't her start was not nearly as bad as her finish.
Right.
Yeah.
That's profound. So
when you consider it.
I don't want to do that anymore. So ladies, in the spirit of getting out here in under an hour, does anybody have any final thoughts on Miss Aileen Wuornos aside from the fact that she's just a sad case and nutty and squirrel shit?
I think it's very unfortunate that so many people used her circumstances in such negative ways. But I'm just going to end with this. She wrote a letter to one of her elementary school friends, and she added this quote, and I thought it was really relevant. It said, "It is love, friendship that sustains us, even in the worst of times, under the worst of circumstances, even when we've been driven mad, even when we've killed, we can still love, and we're still worthy of love, and we can still be loved." So I think that shows that there was
She wrote that?
She quoted it. It doesn't say who the quote was attributed to. I looked for it, but that's what she quoted to her friend. So clearly
there's some humanity there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So well, I want to end with that.
Not going to get in the car with
yeah.
you, but
yeah.
True enough. All right. Miss Leanne, do you have any final thoughts on this?
I just think she had a really bad start. I don't think anything was going to end well for her, but she also did admit that if she was ever let out, she would kill again. So I think the only possible outcome would have been either a jail sentence or the death sentence, which she wanted at the end.
Yeah. I remember, of course, was alive, but I remember all of that. I remember watching her kind of in court, because court TV, I think, was around then. And they would show highlights, and it was like she was just mm-hmm. a hot oh, mess was, express.
She was that the crazy starry eyes and everything. She was
all yeah. of it. So yeah. it's a shame, but it was necessary. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody who contributes to our Patreon. If you would like to contribute to our Patreon, Tim, tell us what you need to do.
Just go to historydweebs.com/Patreon. I don't know. I screwed that up.
The other way
around. No, sir. Historydweebs.org.
And we would like to thank our sponsor of our show. Who would that be, Ms. Leanne?
Black Cat Me on Etsy.
That's right. If you want any nice, crafty home goods, that is the place to look.
And if you can find like that a, link I also on historydweebs.org.
Brief. You could go there, perhaps.
I love the way you said Etsy. Will you say it again? It was so pretty. Do it again.
Etsy.
I liked murder. I liked the way she said murder. Say murder.
Oh, my God.
It was fun. Say murder. Come on.
Murder.
There we go. She makes dance, it sound monkey, so pleasant. She makes murder sound almost appealing. Like
Chuck, your kink is weird. All right, everyone. Until next time.
Well, we want to say happy.
What do we say?
Happy International Women's Day to all yes, of our wonderful day. Female listeners who we love.
Month.
When Women's is International month? Men's Day?
That's every other day.
Yep.
Don't you forget it either.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
again, that's
it.
The Colonel at historydweebs.org. Yes. If you'd like to mail him directly.
I'm only going to say.
There's a lot of people on Team Colonel.
As a member now of the patriarchy, you're welcome for the day we gave you. And but tomorrow we're going to be keeping you down again. So enjoy.
Perfect. Thank you. Timmy, take us out of this.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Who gives a shit about corn futures?
Oh my God, shut up.
Frickin' laser beams.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.